Today we've got with us Fernando Gargano. He's the CEO at Barras and Associates. Very happy to have you here, Fernando.
Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Inga Boonen, VP of Consulting, and Gabriel Karandashovsky, Chief Operating Officer at NIMSI Insights.
Can you tell us what Barras and Associates actually does?
The main business is really the Healthcare Entrepreneur Network, which is a sort of a co-op organization that was created in 2006 by the Contra Costa Health Services and a couple of other health services in Northern California, with a goal of offering video interpreting systems to hospitals back in 2006, where it really wasn't widespread at the time. What we figured was that what hospitals needed was to guarantee that their interpreting staff were more utilized than they were at that time. So in the best way we figured was to put those interpreters in a call center and have the same organizations call into those interpreters so that they would be more productive. In addition to that, when other health systems joined the co-op, those organizations were able to share that interpreter resource. So a hospital from Contra Costa was able to provide interpreter services for a hospital in LA County, for example, and vice versa. It was a very innovative system at the time, and it still is, and they're the only ones doing that. Barras and Associates is the technical arm that makes it all run. So we do manage all the technology that makes all of this work.
Currently, you are the CEO of the company. Did you think that you would be a businessman when you were a kid, or what was the first career that you dreamt of having?
Pretty sure that what I wanted to be as a kid was an airline pilot. Ooh. And I actually tried doing that. I didn't pursue it all the way. I became a private pilot while I was a manager of interpreter services back in Massachusetts here in the U.S. I found out how much a new airline pilot makes, and I was shocked at how little it was. Like, it would be fun and all, but I'd be poor for a long time. Wow. So I had to give that up, unfortunately.
You have a kid, so I'm guessing you spent your time mainly with the family when you're not working, or do you have any other hobbies?
Yeah, I like to golf. My kids are young. They're 6 and 8. They also like to golf, so that's a perfect thing to do with the whole family.
Could you list 3 countries that you would like to visit?
We went to Hawaii just recently. Not another country, but it's close by. It's only 5 hours away from where we are. So we had a proper family vacation, which was fantastic. And I mean, other countries, I've been to Italy, Germany, some countries in Europe, but I'd like to visit again and perhaps even take my kids, my wife down to Brazil, where I'm from, eventually when situations improve.
What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
When I was 19, 20 years old, I started a little computer repair business on my own. I had a little shop close to where I lived in Medford, Massachusetts. And I had this customer who owned laundromats. I was intrigued by it, and I went to his house to fix his computer, and he lived in his huge house in Medford, probably worth millions of dollars. And it was like, wow. I told him, you must have worked really hard to get to where you are. And I was kind of surprised. He said, No, Fernando, you get this wrong. Your goal should be to do very little and always make sure to be the boss.
Thank you for sharing. And this is a nice segue into some of the tougher questions that we have. And the very first one, if you're ready for it, is what was your first breakthrough, the moment that you realized you needed to do things a little bit differently in order to advance?
Yeah, like I was mentioning earlier, I like to focus on solutions. when I became a leader for the first time, you know, I had a computer repair shop and I was tired of that and I wanted to move away from that. And before that, I was a medical interpreter at the Cambridge Health Alliance in Massachusetts. I speak Portuguese, so that was really my first real job. And I decided to go back there and have a 9-to-5, you know, a day-to-day job where I can punch in, punch out, and not have to worry about business issues anymore. I just wanted some peace in my life. So I went back there, and not very long after that, maybe a year after I had rejoined the organization, the entire leadership of the department, with the exception of one person, a good friend of mine there, were eliminated. And my colleagues, my fellow interpreters, encouraged me to go and try to do that. They said, you should, you know, go and apply for the manager position that's open. You know, 5 managers were hired at that time. I'm not sure. I guess I'll try. I tried, and I somehow they hired me. I'm not sure if I would have hired myself, you know, looking back, but they hired me. I had no management experience of any sort, you know, working with, you know, with other people. Mm-hmm. And I had more than 10 years of an opportunity to work in that role with other colleagues of mine, met some fantastic people, learned an incredible amount, and was able to make a difference for the department. During that tenure, I was part of creating a video call center for our interpreters. And that's when Paraz and Associates came in as a vendor. It's hard to summarize what we've done over 10 years there, mm-hmm. but it was successful for sure. We went from a department that had close to 100 interpreters, not very productive, doing almost 100% of encounters in person. And we flipped that over into almost 95% of encounters being done in person without a single person being laid off. So we were able to save a lot of jobs, all the jobs, while other departments in the hospital were facing layoffs year after year. We were able to save the department by doing that. And all thanks to the system that now I'm a part of and I'm able to lead.
So another question then for you, what does success mean to you?
A business that doesn't make money is really a hobby. The business has to be able to be profitable so that it can innovate and continue to grow in a way. I feel like I've been successful if my customers are satisfied and happy with the service and they continue staying with us, and that my team is also equally as happy and eager to create new solutions to issues and be happier where they are. So looking at that and how I'm able to help people, help our customers, if they're happy, I'm happy, and I feel I've achieved some success there.
Talking about the team, how do you motivate them?
It's really trying to get them to think outside the box first with all the crazy ideas I have in my head and try to make something out of it instead of just sitting back and accepting that what we're doing is good enough and that if there are no issues, nothing needs to be done. But no, that's in my view, that's not enough. So motivating the team to, you know, pursuing challenges and perhaps correcting issues that have been long standing, and really looking at the light at the end of the tunnel and being like, hey, we do this thing. These other things may happen. It may lead to bigger and better things. So I think that's the best that I can do for them.
With the benefit of hindsight, what advice would you give your young self starting out the career in the language services business, or to other people who are hopeful to start a career in this business and become entrepreneurs as yourself?
I think you really have to be very persistent, very persistent. That's nothing more important. If something doesn't work, try again. You're going to make mistakes. Keep trying. I think that I could have done more of that as a younger person, and it's easier to give up than to keep pursuing the same thing, even failure after failure. Mm-hmm. But that's important. I would say that be persistent is the most important thing. Also, if you're starting a business in the country that you're in, for us, we're in the United States, to really try to support local staff or local business really try to keep everything in the country or in your state or city, not outsource, even if it may help you financially in the long run. Do not send jobs overseas. Keep everything local. I think that that's the right thing to do, and it will feel better, and you'll be helping the community. And it's just the right thing to do. So that's what I would say to somebody starting out in whatever business they're trying to start.
I like that thought very much. Helping the community by making these choices. Very, very nice. Fernando, thank you very much. This is it.
All right. Thank you so much. This was great. Yeah.
If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
And for the viewers, this was all, folks. Thank you for watching, and look out for our next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSI website.